After September 11th, Americans were asked to shop, not to sacrifice. Far from being asked to pay additional taxes to fund the war on terrorism, Americans were told that they would pay fewer taxes, and we would pay for the war and additional security by passing on the costs to our grandchildren. The consensus against terrorism was shattered by such overreaching as the arrest of American citizens in the United States and their designation as enemies to be denied lawyers and due process. The Attorney General, rather than bringing us together, managed to persuade much of the country that the needed reforms of the Patriot Act were actually the beginning of fascism. Rather than seriously and systematically addressing the real security vulnerabilities in this country, the administration succumbed to political pressure to reorganize agencies amid the war on terrorism and created a massive bureaucracy. Unwilling to fund security upgrades at necessary levels, the administration funded pork barrel procurement of high-tech weapons for small towns, while police and fire personnel were laid off in high-threat cities. September 11th erased memories of the unique process whereby George Bush had been selected as president a few months earlier. Now, as he stood with an arm around a New York fireman, promising to get those who had destroyed the World Trade Center, he was every American's president. His polls soared. He had a unique opportunity to unite America, to bring the United States together with allies around the world, to fight terrorism and hate, to eliminate al-Qaeda, to eliminate our vulnerabilities, to strengthen important nations threatened by radicalism. He did none of those things. He invaded Iraq. We went off on a tangent, off after Iraq, off on a path that weakened us and strengthened the next generation of al-Qaedas. For even as we have been attriting the core al-Qaeda organization, it has metastasized. It was like a hydra growing new heads. There have been far more major terrorist attacks by al-Qaeda and its regional clones in the 30 months since September 11th than there were in the 30 months prior to that momentous event. President Bush asked us, soon after September 11th, for cards or charts of senior al-Qaeda managers, as though dealing with them would be like a Harvard Business School exercise in a hostile takeover. He announced his intentions to measure progress in the war on terrorism by crossing through the pictures of those caught or killed. I have a disturbing image of him sitting by a warm White House fireplace, drawing a dozen red X's on the faces of the former al-Qaeda corporate board, and soon perhaps on the face of Osama bin Laden, while the new clones of al-Qaeda are working the back alleys and dark warrens of Baghdad, Cairo, Jakarta, Karachi, Detroit, and Newark, using the scenes from Iraq to stoke the hatred of America even further, recruiting thousands whose names we will never know, whose faces will never be on President Bush's little charts, not until it is again too late. The nation needed thoughtful leadership to deal with the underlying problems September 11th reflected. Instead, America got unthinking reactions, ham-handed responses, and a rejection of analysis in favor of received wisdom. It has left us less secure. We will pay the price for a long time.